You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show.
Okay, I feel like my mic. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me? Okay.
I can hear you.
Hello, After Buzzers. So if you're tuning in, this is the after show for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, y'all. What?
I like the y'all at the end when it's Beverly Hills.
Y'all. Y'all. I don't know. I thought I'd add a little something extra today. So there's only three of us today. Our Susan, she's busy moving, so she couldn't make it today. But we're here to hold down the fort and talk some good dish on the Housewives. So let's go around the table.
Hey everyone, it's Giselle Ugardi, always live tweeting at Giselle Ugardi. In fact, tweeting in progress, letting all of our tweeters know that we're live.
Lovely.
Hey.
Love your nails. I like your nails too. Cute.
Oh, thanks. I know. What is that white one with the, what is that?
Well, I went to Swedish House Mafia concert this weekend, or show, and it was their last tour. It was called Masquerade Motel. So I got a little mask on my nail, and then I got the symbol of the DJs on this other nail.
Oh my god!
Commemoration. I did actually. I'll do a little plug since we're talking about my YouTube channel.
Let's get ready.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm Mari Fagel, and I am also always tweeting at Mari Fagel, and I love all your tweets because when you guys send them to me, they're great insights.
Amazing.
Very nice. Hopefully you guys will live tweet tonight so we can, you know, get engaged with you. And I'm Deanna Vaughn, and you can find me on Twitter at GoToGirlTV. And so let's just dig in on this episode. So last night in Paris, and finally, this was like the Paris thing was almost three episodes, I want to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the end of one episode, an entire episode in the beginning of the next.
Exactly. So this is finally the last night, and I feel like after all said and done, you know, all the antics, you know, especially with Kim, I think that was the biggest thing on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
I think it ended quite nicely. I really, really liked, you know, I'm going to talk about her again, Yolanda, because I think some of you guys are getting on the Yolanda bus.
Oh, I love her. I've been on that bus for weeks.
I was one of the starters of the Yolanda bus.
Whatever.
I was the one who said, I guarantee you, she's that type of person who observes and then she speaks.
Well, she's proven her case, and I absolutely loved that she thought enough about Brandy, the fact that Brandy doesn't have anyone else, you know, that she bought her a pair of shoes. How sweet.
Did you think
that?
It was weird that she did that at dinner, though? It's like Kim doesn't have anyone else either.
That's what I was going to say. I didn't think it was weird that she did it, but
okay,
I thought it was weird that she was like, oh, I did it for you because you don't have anyone else. Well, Kim doesn't have anyone else either.
Granted,
but I thought it was sweet.
Mauricio did buy her a purse.
This is true.
Yeah.
Do we think that that's kind of why that happened? Is because, you know, the last previous episode, Mauricio bought Kim the purse, kind of, you know, I saw you eyeing this, you've been working so hard. Do you think that's why that happened?
Yeah, then maybe she was like, well, Brandy doesn't have anyone to do that for her. Though Ken, I'm sure, lavishes. I feel like Ken lavishes Brandy with gifts because I love that relationship.
Yeah.
That is by far my favorite relationship on television.
Pushing in the chair.
Ken and Brandy, And Lisa's like, you could push in my chair for me. Don't forget about me over here.
I think what's nice about it is at the end of the day, even though we know Ken and Lisa are married and we know that Brandy is a very attractive woman, for whatever reason, I don't see any funny business going on. It seems all very genuine.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that.
No, and I know you didn't. I think it's interesting how we accept this dynamic between the three of them when in other cases we might be like, okay, totally inappropriate. She's all on her man. You know what I mean? So I think it's cute.
That's how I am with my friends and some of their boyfriends. I feel like we have that relationship. We have that sense of humor.
Yeah.
So I get it. And I like it.
It's cute. I like it too. It's very, very cute. Now let's talk about how far Brandy and Kim have come in their relationship. Now, obviously, we know last season it was horrible. It's hot in here, you guys.
Yeah.
Awful. Woo. Last year. Oh, sorry. The heat's not
long. Yeah. It's hot in here. Anyway, to the point where, you know, Brandy makes the statement that, you know, one of the highlights of her trip was her, this, you know, connecting with Kim more. Like, what do you guys think about that?
I thought it was really nice, and it was coming full circle, and I just feel like they got off on the wrong start. Kim was in a very, very different place. Brandy speaks her mind, and, you know, it's nice to see women who can get past it. That's, like, in stark contrast to Adrian and Brandy, which, like, Adrian will forever hold that grudge. There will never be a point where the two of them are friends. But, like, part of Kim's rehab, I think, was letting go of grudges. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want to devote her energy to that. And, you know, I think that relationship is a testament to how far Kim has come.
That's a good point.
I agree. I do, too. And I think it's something that I never saw coming. I never thought it was going to happen. Because every time Brandy tried reaching out last season, it was just train wreck.
Right.
And then at the beginning of this season, when Brandy tried to reach out, Kim was still getting really defensive. You know, like, you don't know me. You don't know who I am. How are you reaching out in this way? And so I think to see them come to this point and for her to feel so touched that Brandy said this was my favorite part of the trip, I think was a very beautiful moment that no one expected. And I'm really glad that they showed it because they've been focusing so much on drama.
Yeah.
And you've seen Lisa and Kyle try time and again to let go of this grudge that they clearly can't let go of. And so to finally see some kind of a resolution come amongst these ladies, like, okay, they can be adults.
What I really liked most about this episode, it's almost like kind of like a full circle with Kim, because we've seen her, you know, she's abusing alcohol. She goes to rehab. Mm-hmm. She's got the trust issues going on with everybody. Everybody's assuming she's back on stuff. And I think finally, like, I noticed this episode, Kim is just getting so many, like, warm and fuzzies. She's getting a lot of love. Yeah. She's getting a lot more encouragement than I think she's ever had. And I think it came at the expense of, I mean, last episode where she was just really down and out because everybody was, you know, not trusting her, like, oh, you passed out in your room, or, you know, but I almost think that needed to happen so things can kind of come full circle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I kind of like that. I feel like she's finally coming around. So to
say. With an exception that we'll talk about, I'm sure, a little later.
Yes, we will get to that. Yeah.
Can I just say, I think she looks fantastic.
She does.
And I don't mean to be one to, like, promote the nose job or anything, but I think she looks great. She looks better than I've ever seen her, and I think it's not just the nose job. She's putting herself together. She's obviously not drinking and not all, like, puffy and everything, but her hair, her clothes, like, she just looks fantastic.
She looks like
best I've ever seen her, and it's the first time that I actually look at her and Kyle and I'm like, oh, like, I see the similarities. They are sisters, because, I mean, like, the first two seasons she looked like the haggard older sister. I mean, you know, like, because Kyle's beautiful, but Kim is beautiful. Like, and I didn't see it before because she was always, you know.
Well, it goes to show you, like, when you do abuse something like alcohol or pills or whatever, I mean, not only does it take a toll on the inside of your body, but it takes quite a toll on the outside of your body, too, you know? So
I gotta say, I'm a little pissed that Kathy Hilton never comes to anything.
Well, she, like, was out of town.
But she always is, you know, like Farrah's graduation. Yeah. You never see her at the white party, Kyle's store opening. Like, you never see her coming to anything.
Yet she wants to have her own reality show on Oxygen that failed.
Right.
I mean, but do you think that that's a coincidence? Or I just happen to think that she doesn't want to be a part of it at all.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, she was a part of Paris's shows.
Well, that's her daughter.
True.
You know what I mean?
Sister.
I don't know. I definitely think she has a much bigger stake and tie, like, when it comes to, you know, her daughter and what her daughter's doing. And if I'm not mistaken, I think for her daughter's shows, I think she's got, like, an EP credit or something like that, executive producer. So, I don't know. To me, it seems like there's more in it for her to participate, you know, in a show that has to do with her daughters versus with her sisters.
And there was talk that she was going to be a housewife at one point, but then that's, like, half the cast is, like,
it's related. Sisters. Yeah, half the cast
and
is related.
We've had sisters on other Real Housewives, and, like, three would be too many, because two, it's, like, interesting, but three would be too many. Then it just becomes basically a family reality television show.
Well, Jersey, at the same...
The New Jersey Housewives.
Yeah, I was just going to say, New Jersey Housewives, oh, yeah. You know, there's, you know...
Sister-in-laws.
There's two sisters, there's a sister-in-law, you know, there's brothers.
Cousins.
But I kind of think that actually makes it a little bit better because the relationships are genuine and they're authentic. So at the end of the day, we know that there's not too much that's going to be produced and made up because these are real families with real problems. So you can look at it from that sense too. Mm-hmm. But
I'm smiling right now because I'm looking at Kevin Lee on the episode, and I just have to say I'm going to try to get him to call in next week because I didn't realize he was on the episode until I just watched it today. And he's a close friend of my family's. He planned my sister's wedding.
He planned my dad's wedding.
He did Susan's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he planned Susan's wedding too. So it's like Susan and I need to get Kevin in here, and we need to, darling. He's the funniest person ever.
Well, here's what I want to know, and no disrespect, but what's on his head?
Oh.
That is some piece. That is not his hair. I'm sorry. It's something.
It's something to
And I like how you're just smiling and you're not really speaking, so it's okay, but I got to call it how I see it. I don't know what that is on his head, but...
And the thing is, he is exactly like that in person.
I can imagine.
Like, exactly to a T. That is not for cameras, is all I have to say.
He inspired the character in Father of the Bride.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yes.
And he called in twice last season, so we'll definitely get him to call in.
We'll make it happen. And speaking of, you know, bringing back some blasts from the past, we get a chance to see Jaina.
Oh, you got to my favorite topic. I've been waiting to talk about this.
That, I have to agree with you, that's probably the highlight of this episode is Jaina's appearance. And what I think is interesting, it's like, how many alcoholics do we need on a show? I mean...
I thought she was auditioning for a role. Like, I thought we were watching a scripted television scene at this point in time because she is just so different.
Okay, like,
she's so mad. She's chain smoking. At first, when she was lighting her cigarette in the candle.
Oh my God, that was the best part of the entire episode.
I thought that she was trying to light her cigarette in her drink. So
yeah, I know. I was like, where's the fire? Is she lighting it in the water? And then it just like took forever and it was like complete silence while she tried to light her cigarette. And I was like, oh my God. But can I just say, first of all, Bravo producers dissed her that when they introed her, they didn't even intro her. They had Taylor saying, oh, I'm going to see a friend of mine who's going through a bad breakup, instead of being like, oh, I'm going to see my friend Dana, and then, like, showing a flashback of her from season two. Like, they acted like she wasn't even on the show, and then she comes in, and she looks completely different.
Oh,
I don't
totally.
Want to use the word haggard again, but she looks completely haggard.
I thought there were times when she looked worse in previous seasons.
I agree.
She looks a little skinnier. She looks tanner. Her hair is longer. She's got extensions.
She actually wore a dress
that fit.
Here's what I will say, but I've got two things to say about Dana. The first thing, we have a caller, so.
Oh,
we'll
I hope they want to talk about Dana.
Caller! Who do we have on the phone?
Hey, guys, it's Taylor again.
Hey, Taylor. Hi, Taylor. How are you?
Good. I heard you guys starting to talk about Dana, and I had to say that was my favorite part of the episode.
Okay, I'm going to say one thing. Kind of what you said, Giselle. I feel like in previous seasons when she's been on the show, I feel like she's always tried to like audition. I feel like she's turning something on. You know what I mean?
Always. Like she's trying like, let's go to Hawaii. Let's go on a trip to Hawaii.
Yeah, my $25,000. Like I always feel like she's, you know, auditioning for something. And okay, now Taylor, please jump in.
Well, what a worse person to audition with is Taylor, who's about to get kicked off at the end of the season. Like,
this is true.
If you want to get on the show, better hang out with Lisa or someone with an actual pull.
And stop talking shit on those other housewives. And she kept being like talking shit on Brandy and then talking about our group, and kept using the word our as if she is part
of
the group.
Oh, I love that. She barely got an invitation to Porsche's party. Like, let's be honest.
Yes, thank you.
She's not in that group.
And I'm so tired of her name dropping. Like, if
Lamborghini.
If the worst thing that can happen to her is that he took my Lamborghini, really? Who's feeling sorry for you?
Wasn't she making her own money?
No.
Okay. She was a party planner. She was not making that much money. It's because she was dating an iBanker who bought her the sunglasses. And then obviously Brandy's premonition that he's going to cheat on you happened. And Taylor, I just want to ask, what did you think of her whole Brandy bashing? Because I personally thought it was because she was pissed because the two of them came in last season together as friends of Housewives, and Brandy got the permanent role, and Dana got kicked off.
That is absolutely what I thought. She was so mad because she came in with the 25,000 sunglasses and the diamond lollipop holder or whatever, and Brandy, who is like clearly made it known that she is not that rich, gets the full-time fee, and she is stuck in the background. Mm-hmm. And I love the irony of her talking about how trashy Brandy is while she's, like, tipping her drink, smoking her cigarette. Like, please. Let's, like, the irony was not lost by me.
Yeah, where she was visibly drunk and out of it.
I also thought it was funny how I remember last season so vividly, anytime she was in a situation, she would always... you know, kind of take whatever side was on, like,
whatever was convenient.
Oh, whatever is convenient. And she would always bring up whatever the situation was. And in this one, she was just bashing everyone. Like, mm-hmm. she just took her side. She took her point. I mean, let's be real. If she's, quote, auditioning, she's pretty much doing what the production wants or what she sees the formula as. Because Brandy was being dramatic. Brandy was the damsel in distress getting left and fucked over, excuse me, by her ex. She, you know, she was in that position, and now that's exactly what she's trying to do, is show this train wreck. Yeah. Pretty much a mix between Taylor and Brandy of last season.
No, Brandy...
And it's just not going to happen.
Brandy is so much more class than Dana.
Of course,
than
I'm saying
Dana.
She's trying to be. She's trying to
Can I just say, I liked Dana last season because I thought she was hilarious.
She's so funny and
weird. Loved her last night. I thought she was the best part of the episode and she was hilarious. Am I the only one here who like wants to see her next season?
I want to see her
like desperately keep trying to get on the show. Like, if we can like throw these little Dana moments like every four or five episodes, like make my life.
Yeah. Well, because like the Real Housewives needs like a little bit of trash. Like, it's just funny to have this like one trashy woman who is just like such a train wreck in a whole different type of way. Train wreck that and she's just constantly trying to suck up to the women.
Trash,
I think she's hilarious. She doesn't have money because someone who did have money wouldn't act that way.
Well,
she's new money. I know this sounds bad, but fine, she's new money.
Yeah, she is. At the same time, it would be kind of cool.
I just mean she's like putting on a front. If she really like had
what
she said
she had.
The money to back it up, the Lamborghini and the $25,000 sunglasses and stuff, then why does she feel the need to always put on the front? That's all I'm saying.
I agree. And talk about it. No, I get it. It's almost like those who, you know, have to talk about things all the time, usually you don't have what the hell they're talking about. You know, it's
That's what Camille Grammer said last reunion.
Uh-huh. Yeah
it's just
exactly.
Like Brandy.
Thank you, Taylor.
Brandy makes a point of the fact that she doesn't have the same type of wealth as the other women, and she never tries to pretend as if she does.
Right.
If anything, she's more endearing to us because she admits, she's like, you know what? I'm not like these other women. I can't afford to have someone threatening to sue me. And that's why people can connect to her. They can't connect to someone who's putting on a front, but I do think she's hilarious.
Very nice. Any other things you'd like to add this episode, Taylor?
No, that was it.
So I guess what happened, though, is that Dana's fiancé cheated on her with a 23-year-old
and then
left her and her son.
Now, were they married or just engaged?
Ah. Because I think she was, like, trying on wedding dresses last season, wasn't she? I felt like she was planning a wedding.
She was planning a wedding. She was trying on dresses.
Taylor, can I just ask you quickly, is she still
there? Taylor's still there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Your favorite line from the Dana thing, because I have to say, we all have to say our favorite Dana line.
Oh, gosh, favorite Dana line. This was a good one. I just the whole her, like, going on about Brandy being so trashy while her drink is, like, flying in her lap, and the cigarette just, like, and her can is, like, running off her face. And I love that she wasn't trying to be funny. Like, she wasn't trying to be, it was hilarious.
Well, my favorite line is, he took my Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Really? Really.
I still love
And I also from love from last season when she told us her baby speaks Thai.
She's just hilarious. Like, I want her on. Every time I think about the things she says, like, she's like, that was a house of cards. And then she's like, I drink, I fuck, and I love it. And it's like, what?
Well, and talk about really trying so hard to fit in, because I feel like we've seen that with Taylor, obviously, you know, really trying to put up the front, trying to fit in. I think she's even tenfold. And now that she doesn't have this man in her life, how does she plan on doing it? So,
also, I thought it was ridiculous that Taylor just two episodes, like, why does every woman who had a drinking problem feel that they're the one to then tell you you have a drinking problem? Because that Taylor, like, two episodes had a drinking problem. She's like, I can recognize it. She has a drinking problem, but she's too far
gone. I would have spent 10 days at home with my daughter. Just 10.
Yeah. And now she's the counselor.
And now I am an expert rehab.
That's so true. Well, yeah, she's right in it. Well, thanks for calling in, Taylor.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Have
a good night.
Okay,
every week.
Bye.
Bye.
That's a great point,
I just
Mari.
Like that scene. I don't mean to like be talking so much, but
no,
that scene was like the best of the season. I swear to God, it was so funny. I couldn't stop laughing. It was a train wreck that I couldn't stop watching.
I mean, kind of with a lot of people with drinking is, you know, you make fun of the drunk girl, and then,
it's
you know, once in a blue moon,
drunk,
you are that drunk girl.
It's not just that
we've
she
all been
was
there.
Drunk, though. Dana's always like that, even when she's sober. If anything, she was more putting on a front of being, like, drunk and smoking and looking like a wreck. It's not like I think Kim is funny when she's super drunk. I more think it's sad. I think Dana's funny just because, like, she tries so hard.
Yeah, like, totally.
And always just
hey, you know
misses.
What? Those ladies tried way too hard for that zip code for them to leave now.
That comes from the opening credits. All right, let's move on to Kyle's new passion, which is her store. Now, I love the fact that now she's got something to keep her busy, to keep her occupied.
And we're going
to
go see it this week.
Yeah,
we're
going
to
go
see it this week.
We're all going
yes,
to see it.
Absolutely. For all you guys out there, Kyle's store is right here in Beverly Hills, and she's having this store event, and we're all going to attend, and she's supposed to be there. So we'll have to share all of our experiences with you, and maybe we can take some pictures.
Maybe you should give us the discount logo shop.
Yeah. Not like a discount like would even matter.
Yeah.
But no,
I was going to say that, yeah, the clothes are pricey, but they're cute.
Yeah. I like that she's got something to do now, because maybe, I don't know, maybe being an owner of a store will, I don't know, I hate to use the word toughen up, but I feel like she's such the person who always sits in the middle and doesn't really speak up and, you know, speak her mind and have an opinion when it matters. Maybe this will help with that in
weird way. I don't think so at all. I completely disagree. If anything, I thought we were talking about that this will be a distraction from her trying to play the mommy role because she keeps on telling Maurice that she wants to have another baby. You
true.
Know? I think if anything, she's going to be around people that are always going to be asking about the housewives. She'll have fans come in. She'll have Beverly Hills, you know.
Yeah.
She coming in asking about this and that. I think it's just another place to gossip, personally.
I just hope it's just, well, I just feel like she's always in the middle of some shit between two people and is always playing the fence. That's what I mean, you know? So I feel like, is this going to help her, like, make some decisions about things as a business owner?
We do have a tweeter, actually, who kind of asked a question like that. Is he wants to know, do you think that Kyle likes to play both sides?
I just said it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's intentional. I don't think it makes her a bad person. But I think there, you know, just to avoid confrontation, I think there are people, you know, you like sometimes being a yes person and you like being the keeper of the peace, and I think she's one of those people.
But I don't think she tries to avoid confrontation at all. I think she's actually always the pot stirrer. And in fact, it's evident in the fact that at her own store opening, she decided to take the time out to start crying with her sister in a back room. And it's like, this is
she's
your
always
store
crying.
Opening, though. And your white party, like, she never has a problem with the fact that every single party of hers is always ruined because she's, like, crying about something in a fight. And it's like, why would you take, like, it's just sad because she spends all this time planning these great parties, and then she goes and, like, gets in fights with people and starts crying. And it's like, can't you save that for another night or for someone else's party and not your own?
Well, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's all about her. You know, if you think about it, it becomes all about Kyle.
But it's sad because instead of, like, mingling with the other guests and seeing how they liked her clothes and her big opening, she was, like, in a back room crying about the fact that she thought her sister, like, was going to die, which is very sad. But that's, like, a very, very heartfelt, dramatic moment. And I just can't understand why she always brings them up in the most inappropriate times.
Well, and also, like, a week later, really? You know, you're not going to bring it up maybe, I don't know, in her hotel room privately in Paris or maybe on a plane or when you get back. But
yeah.
Come on.
I feel like the Bravo producers say to them, okay, if we're going to plug your shit, then
you got to do this
to, like, bring the drama.
Yeah.
Because I mean, at this point, all of the women have some sort of product or something that they're trying to promote on mm-hmm. Bravo, and they don't want to be QVC, so they're like, okay, we're going to be QVC with some drama.
It is what it is.
Like, you know.
What did you guys think about the other confrontation at Kyle's?
Which one with her and Kim?
Taylor.
Yolanda. Oh, Taylor and Yolanda.
Yolanda.
I'm glad that it finally came out. I'm glad that Taylor, you know, had some backbone, because obviously we saw how Yolanda, previous episode, confronted her about it. But I kind of agree with Yolanda. It's like, okay, like, stay out of my business. Like, you know what? Like, I get that your friend was married to my now husband, but it's... What does that have to do with Taylor's relationship with Yolanda? I don't feel like it was Taylor's place to even talk about it. I really don't. And of course she's going to defend her husband.
Right.
You know?
Of course. Well, I'm glad that she didn't, and I'm glad that she did in the way that she did.
Yeah.
I liked hearing what Taylor had to say about the reason why she felt like she needed to confront Yolanda and mm-hmm. come clean and apologize. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little bummed that the way that it actually ended up coming out was yeah. not as articulate as it was
it
in the
wasn't.
Confessional.
Yeah.
And, I mean, granted, Yolanda's intimidating. She's also very tall. Right. And she's hot. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she speaks her mind.
Yeah.
And she's very assertive and she's very direct, which mm-hmm. is why we love Yolanda
yeah.
so
right.
far. But, you know... Poor Taylor. The words didn't come out, and she just
no,
kind of looked stupid.
They didn't, yeah.
And, you know, Yolanda, maybe she was a little harsh. Maybe she was a little...
I don't think she was harsh at all.
Not at all? Okay. Well,
I totally agree with Yolanda, but I will say, I love how Yolanda's like, who are you to talk about my husband and his ex-wives? Like, there's been multiple. Like, I love Yolanda, but
she treats all of them very well.
I do not like David. Can I just say, like, even the photo shoot earlier in the episode, which, by the way, Yolanda looked drop-dead gorgeous in
those dresses. Those legs for days.
Yeah, but, like, they're doing a photo scene together, and he's, like, trying to grab her boobs, and, like, I don't know, he just creeps me out, and I just think she's so respectful of him. She's like, oh, my David, like, he's really
my
busy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we got to get things going. He's only in and out. She cares so much about
yeah.
him. And I just, like, I don't know. I just don't get a good vibe from him. I
really?
Don't.
That's interesting. Well, the same vibe that, you know, what you just said about him, that those are Taylor's sentiments about him, I think, as well, you know?
I feel like he definitely has his nose in the air a little bit.
Of course.
But I think that there's probably some of him that we don't see. And you can also see that he supports Yolanda and
everything
that
she does.
He appreciates everything that she does. Mm-hmm. He points out, you know, granted, in some cases, he says how Yolanda is better than everybody else, which, you know, can be a little condescending in the way that he says it, but at the same time, it's also showing how much he really puts her on this
pedestal.
Yeah,
they put each other on a pedestal.
But she looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
She had legs for days. Her skin was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny how... what did she say? She said something about how David is a natural in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Which I was like...
I thought it was there.
But it's not that bothers me. I think it's great that he puts her on a pedestal. It's, I think, the comment to Marissa Zanuck where he was like, oh, you've been married for 16 years, you need to change. Like, that comment really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I just... I just think he's kind of crude. I get a bad vibe. Like,
well, I'm going to play devil's advocate, because if the same comment came out of Brandy's mouth, I think we wouldn't have much to say.
And
the same comment.
She wouldn't say, oh, you've been married for 16 years, time to change. She would never say that, because she was the one who was just subjected to all of that.
But here's the thing. She said things in a similar vein. That's my point. You know, like about Marissa and, you know, her not loving the husband as much. So I feel like, are we a little biased because it's a man?
No, I just feel like a guy who has multiple wives has no right to say to someone, oh, you've been married that long, you need to change it up. Like, it just gives you the impression that he's a philanderer.
I think, well, I can see where you're saying that comment.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that before, about how, for example, if Brandy were to say something and it were to come out of someone else's mouth, it would come out very, very differently.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think the place where it came from mm-hmm. with David would probably be somewhere similar of where it would come from had Brandy said it.
Right.
However, he's just such a serious man. Like, at most, you see him kind of smirk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it just doesn't come out the same way. His comedic timing and his tone of voice is just not... the same. And so I could see why it would come off as very offensive. And I thought it was like,
I thought it was just like his sense of humor. Yeah.
But he did it in front of Yolanda, so that's why I kind of have to give him a little slack. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
If my husband said that while I was standing next to him, I would be mortified.
But I also think what's the context that it's being said. Because just like Giselle just said, I think it was meant to be in a funny, sarcastic sort of way. And the fact that he did say it in front of his wife, and we know how much he respects and loves her, I don't think it was as serious. It should have been taken that seriously. That's the point I'm making.
Okay. Well, I'm Team Yolanda, but well, I can't say I'm Team David.
Let us know what you think.
Whose team are you on? Moving on. So, can we talk about this medication mix-up? Let's just throw it out there.
I don't like to be one to be like, she's lying, because she's going. I think she is really making a very concerted effort to try to stay sober. And so I don't want to be like a viewer being like picking at her track to sobriety. Like, I mean, she could be, but the only problem with putting people who have real problems on these shows is it gets to the point that then we're sitting there and picking apart her path to sobriety.
Right.
And like, it may have been a mix up or it may have been a slip up. And it's like, but either way, I wish her the best.
I hope she got past it.
I'm going to play devil's advocate again. Just, you know, I understand what you're saying. We're picking apart her path to sobriety, but at the same time, it's like,
she's on a reality show. I know.
A, you're on a reality show. B, you've chosen to reveal these things about your life. Is, you know, C, now it's here for everyone to kind of pass a little judgment on, you know. And there's one part of me that feels like, okay, well, if she admitted it to her sister, you know, this is why I was, you know, acting a little loopy because I mixed it up. It makes me feel like, okay, so you're making excuses for, you know, what we all know now, everyone assumed that she was, you know, back on the wagon or whatever you want to call it. Or she could have been being honest, you know, like,
she could have been honest. I just think it's very hard to believe, because wouldn't you recognize those feelings? I mean, regardless, it's really not important. You know, it's something that whether she did it intentionally or not, whether she was lying or telling the truth, you know, the hope is that she's back on the track of sobriety. And luckily, you know, she was on time to everything after that point.
Right.
She made it to Kyle's thing.
Yeah.
She, you know, made a conscious effort to either acknowledge her mistake or look into what was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unfortunate. And I have to say, I feel like Kim kind of plays both sides with Kim's sobriety, too. And
I mean, Kyle
plays both sides of Kim's sobriety, too. And being somebody who, you know, I've said I have a very close family member who's dealing with this. You know, I have a brother who's been going through this, that I know what it's like. And it's a lot. It's something that you can say, oh, I'm gonna put my foot down, or, oh, I'm going to, you know, help them any way I can. And it's just a very, very fragile path that it's a fine line between being supportive and being skeptical. Mm. And it's very hard to get anybody's trust back, especially when they've been struggling with a problem like this for so long, and in Kim's case, over a decade. So
do you think it was a good choice that she made to come clean and tell Kyle that she mixed something up? Or do you think it's only going to, you know, and any type of trust that Kyle did have for Kim, it's like, okay, we're starting all over again?
I think it was good that she told her.
Okay.
You know, and she wasn't defensive like previous times where she's been defensive.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she's just tried to cover it up. Mm-hmm. And whether or not she was lying at the conclusion of how she got to that point, you know, Kim only knows the truth. And it's up to her. I think it's great that Kim is at least being honest and saying that every day is a struggle.
Yeah.
You know, every day is a new battle. But I'm glad that she's seeing every day as a baby step forward.
Yeah.
I just don't think that was the time or place to have that conversation
at all.
Because it ruined Kyle's night and it ruined Kim's night.
I agree.
And Kim looked the best that she ever looked, and she should have walked out that store and picked up a man that was sober that could treat her right, because she looked fantastic. That's the best I've ever seen her. And so, I don't know. I always want to like Kyle, but then she always is just like so dramatic and always bringing up, like, always choosing the worst times, always like bringing up conversations that will elicit fights among the other wives. And I feel like she just has ulterior motives sometimes. Obviously not in the one with her sister, but I just think that, like, I don't know. I always want to like her, mm-hmm. but I also just feel like she always chooses the worst time, the worst place, the worst comments to be saying, and then, like, backs away and lets the other wives, like, fight.
Yeah.
And well, uses Faye, which we'll talk about that.
Hopefully we will get to see some ladies in action.
That was in the store. See, I'm not a big pattern girl.
Really quick before we wrap things
up. I want Yolanda's dress.
We saw a brief appearance of Adrian and Paul. Because, you know, are they even part of this cast anymore?
Honestly, I had a couple people tweet me, like, at this point, why is she even in the opening credits?
Yeah.
Well, this is her last season, because we talked about that last week, that she's officially, you know, let everybody know that she's not coming back for another season, so.
And I think she's such a coward to not go to the reunion, too.
That's really cowardly.
She doesn't go to the reunion. Mm-mm. Yeah, that came up last week.
Like, come on now.
Well, I think we're...
Because it's also... Sorry.
That's okay.
It is also a diss to Bravo, because she has been able to hawk her skincare line, her shoe line, her purse line, everything on this show, and then she doesn't give them, like, the courtesy of showing up to the reunion, and you know that that's what a lot of it would have been about, and, like, I just... Oh, and she broke up with Sean Stewart.
Yes.
Or he broke up with her.
Yes, that was part of my little gossip for the night.
Oh,
so.
Sorry.
That's all right. No, we covered it early.
When I get on my Hate Adrian train, it's
I
hard
know.
To
I mean, were they ever really actually dating?
No,
or were
that
they
was
just getting
for press.
I think it was a PR thing.
Yes.
I do.
Let's stop in front of Crustacean, where Paul and I used to go to have dinner. I'm going to piss him off. I heard rumors of him being friends with Brandy. Well, you know what? I'm going to show up with a younger man in front of this restaurant.
Exactly.
And you know what they say about the girl who orders lobster?
What?
She has to put out.
Wait, what?
I've never heard
what?
If you order lobster, you have to put out.
Why?
Because it's the most expensive thing on the menu.
That's...
Actually, I had never tried lobster in my life until my boyfriend introduced me to it. And then I was like, well, that's your fault for introducing me to it. Now it's my favorite.
That's funny.
But you put out, so.
That's funny. Speaking of putting out.
Oh, that girl in the back there. Oh,
which
quickly.
One? Did she put out?
No. That's Kyle's daughter's best friend.
The
and
blonde.
She went to my high school. No, she was in the background. Because she posted on Instagram she was upset that she looked big in the scene. It was just her back in the scene behind Camille. And,
we need you to bring in some high school yearbooks and stuff. I'm hearing a lot about this.
Farrah went to USC.
But you know what? Did you guys get a chance to check out Serial Buddies this weekend?
I am checking out in video on demand because I unfortunately was not in the area, but I'm so excited.
Yeah. Well, I just want to remind everybody that Serial Buddies, it was just released in select cities this past weekend on the 8th, and you can still go check it out.
Or we'll all plan
yeah,
a trip to go
exactly.
see it together.
Well, exactly. Of course, our own Maria Menounos is in it, as well as a lot of, like,
executive producer as well.
Executive producer, a lot of funny people, and we just want to remind you guys to go check it out.
And can I just say, even though I couldn't see it this past weekend, I saw one of the final cuts, and it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It is so funny. Kathy Lee Gifford's daughter is in it, so it's Kathy Lee Gifford, Beth Bears,
yeah, Artie
Lang.
Yeah.
And the trailers for it are hilarious.
They're so funny.
On YouTube.
So funny. So go this weekend, Friday night, movie night. That's a designated movie night. Go see it, you guys. We already talked about our gossip, right? How about a few predictions?
Oh, Porsche is adorable, by the way.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Predictions.
I want Camille to come back.
She's not coming back either.
I know, but I want her to come back.
She's not. She's definitely not coming back after this season.
She has her hot Greek man. She doesn't need it.
Yeah, she can just stay home and have lots of sex.
Well, I want to watch. Not the sex part. I just want to watch her at home.
So next week, Paul and Adrian have a party, and I think this is when we really, really start to see the demise of their relationship.
You mean we haven't been watching it all season?
Well, we have, but I just feel like now it's just really like, you know, like...
Well, because now he's starting to not take it.
Mm-hmm.
He used to take it when she says mean things, and now he's mm-hmm. like, see, this is constant.
Exactly.
And also, though, can I just say, I feel like next episode is going to piss me off when Faye says to Brandy, like, how do you feel that you broke up a family? Because she's claiming that Brandy's surrogacy comment broke up the Maloofs.
Oh,
which
please.
Is so low to say to someone whose family
was broken up.
Like, that is just the lowest of low to say to her. And I just... Faye needs to stop using Brandy and attacking Brandy as her way to gain fame and popularity. Like, lay off Brandy. You are not Adrian's, like, best friend or family member. Like, I just...
Apparently they are such close friends, though, and she thinks so highly of Adrian, so...
Well, I just thought, like, that's the worst possible thing you could say to
Brandy. That was sarcastic, by the way, in case you didn't catch that. If you're listening to the podcast and didn't see my facial expression.
My whole thing is, and I'll wrap this up quickly, I just think it's more about being connected with the right people in this town. And you know what I'm saying? So showing a little solidarity and, you know, showing, you know, standing up for her quote-unquote friend. And I put that in air quotes, you know, because I feel like Adrian is, you know, probably an influential and powerful person, and maybe it
means I've talked shit about her all season, so hopefully
I think it means something for Faye to be in good graces with her.
I predict Faye will deactivate her Twitter account on Monday night.
Oh, she deactivated it?
No, I predict. She will deactivate her Twitter account.
People are going to be hating
on Monday
on her.
Because there are going to be so many
haters gonna hate.
Faders out there.
Faders gonna hate. Yeah.
And we'll update you on our outing to Kyle Byling too next week. So stay tuned. We'll have some good juicy gossip and hopefully Kevin Lee.
Yeah, that'll be great. Around the table, where can everybody find you?
At Mari Fagel.
You can find me at
You
can find me on most social media sites at Giselle Ugardi, and my YouTube channel is Sprinting Stilettos TV. New videos every Friday, at least.
At least. And you can find me on Twitter at GoToGirlTV, and you can find me on YouTube as well on the Stylish channel. All right, guys, thanks for listening and watching us, and we've got more juice for you next week. Bye.
Juicy.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.